Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of River City Church in Jacksonville, Florida. Our mission is to awaken people to the transforming presence and power of God's love. To find out more, visit rivercitychurch.com, and thanks for listening.
God, I love you. I thank you for this church. Thank you for all of our guests. It's good to see people, Lord. We thank you for the time of worship. And we really, really do just want you to be so central in our hearts and in our minds always. But Jesus, thank you that we have this specific today to just go all in. In your name we pray. Amen. So I like to do unfair dichotomies. If you've been around, you know that. So this probably isn't fair, but I think there's two types of people in the world, okay? There's I'd like to boil down all of humanity to two groups, all right? There are people that can walk through those timeshare things, no problem, right? Like, no big deal. Then there's people like me that suffer through those timeshare things. Have you ever done the deal where you go and you can stay for free for like 2 days? Raise your hand. I'm going to make you participate, all right? Have you done it? You've done it. Thank you. We totally have. All right, so you go and you get to stay at this really nice place. It was probably in Orlando. It was maybe in Vegas, depending on how old you were at the time. And you experience this beautiful resort and all of that. But you know the whole time, you're like, man, we've got that pitch coming. Like, it's 2 days out. And then the night before, you're like, all right, let's get our plan together. They say this, 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 and this. All right. Now, I have a hard time with that. Because I'm like, hey, tell me about your family. Oh, that's nice, right? And then before you know it, I'm like, yeah, we'll take four of those things that we can't afford, you know? But Jocelyn, who's here, I talked about in the first service, babe, she's a negotiator by trade. Like, it's no problem for her. She can walk through there, chop it up, have a good time, talk about everything, no big deal, feel no pressure. But for me, wow, man, it's hard. Who feels pressure when you're going through timeshare pitch? All right, who loves it? Who's like, I'll give it to you, all right? All right, nobody wants to participate this morning. Has anybody over here ever done one? Okay, did you enjoy it or not? No, thank you, all right. So, if you ask people what their greatest fear is, number two, does anybody know what number two is? Dying. Okay, do you know what number one is? Public speaking, okay? Public speaking, number one. So most people are like, you know, I'd just rather go ahead and die than go up there, all right? So that's not the case for me, though. I've always enjoyed being in front of people. I mean, ever since I was little, I just, it's been okay with me. Hasn't been a big deal. Now, there's only two times a year that I feel pressure and sort of resonate with people that do feel a lot of pressure doing this, public speaking. Number one is Christmas Eve, and number two is Easter. Thank you. You all knew it. You could all tell. All right. The reason I feel pressure on Easter is for a myriad of reasons, right? But one of them is everybody already knows the topic, right? Everybody already knows what I'm going to talk about. Everybody knows what I'm supposed to talk about, which is a really good topic. It's fundamental to Christianity, right? I should definitely talk about the resurrection today, all right? But number two, there's this pressure to like put a good, like nice, new angle on it so that you guys are like, oh, I never really thought about it that way, right? And you walk out and you feel like, oh, I knew what he was going to say, but I liked that. Like, that was nice, right? And then some of you, you have friends and family here and you brought them in and you're hoping I'm going to do a good job. And I'm like talking about timeshare. You're already getting nervous, kind of wishing they weren't and do that, you know? But I feel pressure on Easter. And I've been thinking about that this week. And I was like, I wonder, you know, I've been on like the ministry side of Easter Sunday, which is all the work and the stuff and the things that have to be done and like feeling the pressure from that perspective. But I tried to think this week a little bit about, maybe I'm not the only one that feels pressure. So anybody that shows up at an Easter service, maybe there's different forms of pressure that we all feel. For example, first of all, let me just get this out of the way. Maybe you're just on cloud nine. You're feeling no pressure. You're just loving it. Like, you're just stoked that you're here. God bless that. I love that. Okay. But maybe you were invited and you knew that being here would lead you to sort through some things. Like, you knew that if you were here, you're going to have to think about some things. You're going to have to think about some things you don't think about that often, or think about some new ideas, or maybe some ideas that you wanted to be done with, and now you're having to face them again. You knew you're going to have to think about some things. Maybe you invited someone here. I've already mentioned that, and you're kind of processing it the way that they're processing it, and you're like probably overthinking it and worrying about how they're perceiving everything, okay? Maybe you want to celebrate, scream, and shout, or maybe you're doing like your best version of joy. Like you're really trying to be joyful, but you're feeling pressure. You don't want to let other people that are here down because maybe you don't have as much joy overflowing as they do. It seems a little bit easier for them. You're a little more maybe melancholy. Who knows the season you're in right now? So you're here and you're excited that Jesus resurrected, obviously, if that's what you believe, but you're feeling a lot of pressure to be more joyful than maybe you feel, okay? Maybe you've been away from the church for a while and you're not sure how you feel about being here. Not just this church, but just church in general. Like maybe, you know, somebody gave you an invite. You're like, you know what? I'm going to go. I'm going to show up. I'm going to be there. But man, I felt like this part of my life was maybe behind me, or I don't know how I feel about it yet. And you feel this pressure because everybody's looking at you and they're like, it's Easter, smiling, you know, take pictures and all that. And you're trying to go there, but you're not exactly sure how you feel. Maybe you have like a hardcore evangelical background, like fundamentalist, sort of hardcore Southern church type deal, and you know, you come to church or you come to Sunday like Easter, and you feel guilty about the fact that maybe you've done too many bad things, right? Or maybe you had more of like a high church sort of Catholic background, and you come to a service like this, and you feel guilty because, man, I don't know that I've done enough good things up until this point. So you're processing it maybe between those two frames of mind. But I think one way, shape, or form, for most of us, Easter is a type of checkpoint. It's like a checkpoint Sunday. It's a checkpoint for me because I feel pressure. It's a checkpoint for you because you might be feeling pressure in some way, shape, or form. It really can be a moment of feeling exposed and evaluating how we are doing. So then I was like, well, maybe, you know, I know how I feel pressure. Maybe those are some ways that people who are here on a Sunday feel pressure. But I wonder, what did pressure look like in the life of Jesus? We know that's what I'm going to talk about, is Jesus. So what did pressure look like for him? And I want to read this verse, and then I want to give you a little bit of the context around it. Well, actually, hold off on the verse. Let me talk about it first. So Jesus had just had two really like life-altering encounters right before he read what I'm about to read to you. So he had just sort of been identified by this guy named John who said, this is the one, like this is the guy. And Jesus gets baptized as the first one so that we're all kind of baptized into him now. And after he's baptized, he comes up out of the water and God the Father, there were people around that heard this. God the Father spoke over him and said, this is my son. Like, I'm pleased with him. This is my son. And then the people that were there looked and said that it was like the presence of God, or like the Spirit of God, like came down on him. And the word there that they used was like a dove. So like a dove land, the presence of God came down on him. Okay. So then after this happens, like he's been confirmed. He's like, this is who I am. This is why I'm here. This is what's happening. He feels this new sense of power and like this anointing now, like, oh, wow, like this is what I'm supposed to do. And then he goes into the wilderness, like Middle Eastern wilderness, like hard country, right? Like not a tough environment, hot mountains. And he goes out there and he begins to fast and pray. And this is the beginning of what he was supposed to do with his life. So he's really fasting. He's praying. And then he has this other just wild encounter with Satan, because at the time, the world was just sort of under the enemy's domain. Like Satan just had a free reign here. He had a stronghold over the earth, okay? And Satan shows up and there's this conversation between the two of them where Satan tries to do two things. The first is he tries to tempt him to get him to break, like, appeal to see if there's any pride or anything they can be tempted with. Jesus can be tempted, but he stands strong. And the second thing he tries to do is recruit him. Like, why don't you just bow down to me, man, and I'll make this easy for you. You want to be Lord? You want to have control? Just bow down. I'll make this easy for you. So Jesus resists both of those. He's like, no, that's not, I'm clear. That's not why I'm here. I'm not here to bow down to you. I'm here to take this place back from you. Okay? I'm not here to submit to you. I'm not here to do it your way. I'm here to change it. I'm here to upend it, flip it, take it back for God's glory. So all of that's just happened, right? Like he's just had these two. God speaks over you. The enemy shows up. That's quite a month, okay? That's a decent month, right? Like you've gone through a lot, okay? Now, has anybody ever had like a major life shift or a season change, or you've made a new decision, or you've changed course, or you stepped into a new opportunity? Maybe for some of you, it was you became a Christian and you step into this new season, and then you go, oh man, like this is so sweet, this is so great. And then you go, oh gosh, how's everybody gonna respond to this? Like, how's everybody gonna take this? How's this gonna go down? Is this gonna cost me? Am I gonna hear it from someone? Are people gonna be disappointed? Are they gonna be angry, frustrated? Like, how's this gonna go down? So Jesus has these two encounters, and then he's in his hometown, okay? His hometown was this little town called Nazareth, okay? I like that Jesus is from a small town. I'm from a small town. Anybody from a small town? Yeah, from a small town of like 9,000 people, okay, in Alabama. So word travels fast in a small town. People know you. You're kind of known by your rep. You're known by your family. A lot of cousins, you know, that's how we roll, all right? So here's Jesus, small town. He's from there, grew up there, and he's in the synagogue. He's just had these encounters, right? He's just had all this stuff go down, but he hasn't really blown it up yet. So they open up the scroll, right? They open up the scroll. If you ask anybody under like 40, show me a scroll. You ever seen that thing where they do different generations? So like someone who's 50, like, show me a scroll, and they go like this. And then someone who's 9, they say, show me a scroll, and they do like this. Right? So they open up the scroll, you know? They open up the scroll, all right? And Jesus walks up, and he's like, hey, I got this one. Let me read this one. And he had some authority and some recognition. He could do that. So he steps up, and he reads this prophecy from Isaiah. Hundreds of years before he was born. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. And they're like, wow, powerful reading, okay? After he reads it, he says, this is fulfilled right now. Like, me. This is happening right now, and it's me. And they're like, they immediately, small town reactions. Wait a minute. His dad was Joseph, right? Yeah, I remember that story. A little scandalous. I remember all that, right? All of a sudden, there's activity around his response, and it got a little heated. Got very heated, actually. And then Jesus ran into encounters like that over and over and over. But I can imagine the pressure of that moment, stepping up and saying the things that needed to be said. It is so easy. And the reason I say it's easy is because I have been guilty of this. Wow, let me think. Yeah, maybe this morning I was struggling with this a little bit. How, like, the main thing as it pertains to my relationship with God being, how am I doing as far as keeping up with the things that I think I need to be doing and not doing the things that I think I don't need to be doing? In fact, I remember a little bit of a toil this morning. I didn't think of this to share with the first service. I remember a little bit of toil this morning, even feeling like, man, I just don't feel like I've done enough this week or I've been spiritual enough this week to even preach an Easter sermon. That doesn't mean there was like some big thing. I didn't rob a bank this week or anything like that, you know? It's been months ago. But just that feeling of that's how I relate with God. That's how I see the whole thing, right? That's how I think about it. I forget that when it comes down to my relationship with God, it's not about how I'm doing. It's about, first and foremost, foundational. When we think about Jesus being resurrected, when we think about Easter, when we think about him standing there, we're thinking about being set free. We're thinking about the works of Satan being destroyed. So I think all stuff that Jesus said and like things that were said about him, it's all in this Bible. Most of you probably have an app, okay? But I think if he would have died and not resurrected, that we probably wouldn't have gotten rid of most or all of this. I don't think we would have gotten rid of it, okay? I don't think we would hold it in the same esteem that we do, but I think we'd have been like, man, he said some really good stuff. Now, a lot of it was probably just metaphor. Maybe he was a little bit over the top with some of the claims, and maybe he lost it a little bit toward the end when he started claiming he was God and he could do this and he could do that. But I think we would have held on to a lot of his teachings because a lot of it was good, like pray for your enemies and forgive people like 70 times seven. And, you know, if someone slaps you, like turn the other cheek. Like I think we would have been, man, that's still pretty good. You know, that's decent. But if he didn't stay dead, if he resurrected, like if he really came back to life, okay? If he came back from the grave, then I think we say, you know what? Let me go back. Let me revisit what he said there. Wasn't there a story about a guy whose arm was like tiny and messed up and Jesus walked up to him and his arm like grew into full length? Let me just go back and read that again. Wasn't there a story about a guy that couldn't see, like he was blind, and Jesus walked up to him and said, what do you want? And he said, I want to see. And Jesus put mud on his eyes. And he said, man, I see a little bit. It's kind of like I see trees walking around. And Jesus spit on the dirt and rubbed his eyes again. And he says, now I can see. If he really resurrected, like if he didn't stay dead, maybe we come back to, man, what was that deal about that guy that was on his deathbed? Or what was the deal about that young girl that was so sick? And Jesus spoke something, and miles away she was healed. And they found out later that right when he said it, that was the moment that the guard's son was healed. If he resurrected, we begin to revisit these things, and we say, well, maybe there is something going on when he says that I can be set free. Maybe I am captive. Maybe it's not so much about just positive thinking or negative thoughts or having a hard time or life is struggling or things are difficult. All those things might be true. But maybe there's something else behind that. Maybe there's another power behind that that Jesus came to destroy. Maybe there's another realm going on that's holding my thoughts captive and holding me in that space. See, some of you, I don't know what kind of pressure you're under. I don't know how you show up for an Easter service. But my hunch is that some of you are having really negative thoughts. Maybe thoughts you haven't shared with anyone. Maybe they're scary to say out loud. Maybe you've been struggling with anxiety. Maybe you've been struggling with fear. Maybe you're so overwhelmed with your parenting, you live in a constant state of defeat. And you live in a defeated mindset and a defeated attitude. Maybe you've got something going on that you're like, man, I don't think I can ever break this. I don't think I can ever tell anyone about it. Well, if you're new to RCC or if you've been here for a few weeks, you already know this. We believe that not only did Jesus die, not only do you have forgiveness, which is huge, but we believe that you can be set free. Okay? We believe that he came to set the captives free, and that he came to declare the year of the Lord's favor. So we believe what seems like gloom over your life can turn into favor. I mean, what feels like only sadness in your life, someone asked for this in the first service, can burst forth in joy. Okay? So we want to take a few moments, and I want to ask you to stand. Go ahead, you can stand up. And I know if you're like me, you're thinking, man, I got to get that picture taken, and I got a few things I got to do. I got to get out of here. I get it. But you don't want to miss a moment like this. And if this is one of those times where you say, you know what, I'm here and I'm not here much, or I'm at church and I'm not at church much, and this is one of those checkpoint moments for me. I felt the pressure, but maybe I want to lean into this. Maybe I'd like to see if God really can set me free. We've had people that have stepped forward here for prayer and had the trajectory of their life changed. Okay. You can do that by stepping forward and being prayed over, or that can happen to you right in your seat. But I'm going to ask that you let me pray over you, and then I want you to think about this. If you'd like to be prayed over, you can come forward, and we have some people that will pray with you before you leave. Lord Jesus, I thank you for every person in this room. Jesus, we thank you that you came to set the captives free. And I don't know what kind of pressure anyone in this room is feeling, whether it's they feel pressure to be a certain way, but they have a lot of doubts. They feel pressure to be a certain way, but they're struggling with sickness. They're having self-defeating thoughts. They're feeling negative, whatever it might be, Lord Jesus. We believe that because you've resurrected, captives are set free. Thank you that you said if you set us free, then we're definitely free. And you make us family. So God, give us courage to come forward and receive. And God, I pray for everyone who prays for others that you'll give them special insights spiritually on how to pray. In your name, amen. So if you say, look, I'm struggling. I know it's Easter. I know I'm supposed to be like jumping up and down, and I want to, and in some ways I am, but I'm also struggling. I need some help. I need prayer, right? I want to be free. I don't just want to acknowledge Easter. I want Easter applied to my life. I want freedom, newness, joy, life. I want it. I want it. I want it tangibly. I want to live into it. Okay, I want to be free. Then what we do is, we do this every week. So everyone that's here is quite comfortable with you coming forward. It's normal. It's normal here. But you just come down and you can find a spot anywhere around the stage. And if you'd like to be prayed for, you just open up your hands like this. And this isn't just for guests. This is for anybody in RCC that's saying, you know what? Easter is a checkpoint crossroad for me. And I want to receive prayer. I want somebody to pray over me. Even if they just bless me, I just need a blessing. I feel like I'm living under a curse. I just feel like I need to say that right now. Maybe something was said to you or spoken over you. Could have been 50 years ago. You're still agreeing with it, but it's a lie. But you can't get it out. Like, it's deep. Man, that's not resurrection. That's not Jesus. That's not new. It's a curse. He wants to pull that out. He wants to undo it and heal you. So I've done some wrong things. You know the way God views the wrong things that we do? We think that he views them as like, hey, I can't wait to be angry with them. The whole time he's saying, will you please just come to me with that so I can heal you? That's resurrection. That's healing. Renewal. Redemption. Grace. Mercy. Freedom. So if you want prayer or you need prayer, even if you don't want it, but you know that you need it, I want you to come down right now. We have people that are going to pray for you. Thank you. Jesus, I pray that you destroy the works of the devil and every single person that has come forward. We pray for freedom and new life and new joy and healing. Resurrection power, tangible resurrection power. In your name we pray.